Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. It's my turn to preach, and I'm pretty excited about it. I get Pentecost and I get sanctification, both on the same day. So we're going to talk about sanctification and Pentecost and put them together as best we can. Now, for sanctification, we're learning new terminologies and different languages and that here, Bible language. And so for sanctification, how I often remember it is that sanctification means to be set apart or separated. And so I remember it as sanctification as being separated from sin. So whenever I think of sanctification, I think, well, I'm separated from sin. It just makes it easier if I'm reading something in the Bible and it says God wants our sanctification. It means God wants us to be separate from sin, to come away, to be separate from it, pulled out from it. Then if you think of justification, complicated word, justification, just as if I've never sinned. So when I'm reading the Bible and I come across justification, I look at it and sometimes you get confused as to what it means. And I know, no, it means just as if I've never sinned. And then righteousness as well, things like righteousness. When you read it, it's in right standing. So I'm in right standing with God. So these are just little ways to help with the terminology and the language that we're learning over the course of this time. And so today we're talking about sanctification, which is separation from sin, being separated unto God. So the way I see it, I suppose the best way I can explain it is, it's kind of like a family, all right? So if you get born into a family or placed into a family or adopted into a family, somehow you join a family, you become part of that family. So like for me, I'm part of a family. And my parents are back in South Africa, but I'm part of their family. So when I was growing up, I was part of this family. I didn't have to try and be a part of the family. I didn't wake up every morning and say, well, I'm part of this family. I'm part of this family. I didn't have to confess my way into being part of the family. I was just part of this family. And there were certain things that came with that, certain benefits and then certain requirements. And some of the requirements were like, I had to behave a certain way because I was part of the family. So specifically, like if we went out for a meal or a dinner or a meal or something, my folks, specifically my mother, was really strict with table manners. And so if you were eating out and you, or even at home, and you put your elbows on the table, she'd be, hey, in our family, we don't do that. You got to take your elbows off the table. And then, you know, you want to slouch and maybe bring your head down to your food while you're eating. And she's, hey, we don't do that in our family, right? And so another thing which was big for her was if a lady walked in the room, you'd have to stand up, right? And she'd say, this is our family. These are things we do. You stand up when a lady walks into the room. And so there's a certain expectation on you because you're in this family. And so this kind of works for me for sanctification, because there's really two sides of sanctification we want to look at. Now, there might be other elements, but we're just going to focus on the two. And the first one is how we are, they call it positionally. So let's just say how we are with how God sees us, how God has made us. That's the first one. So it would be what Christ has done for me. So Jesus sanctifies me. Jesus sanctifies you. So when we come to Christ and we have that great day when we're born again, so to speak, or we come to Jesus and we realize that we need a Savior, on that day, Christ sanctifies me. Jesus sanctifies me. It means He separates me from my sin. It's like He takes a knife and He cuts that red sin off me, and I am now like clothed in white. I'm white. He makes me holy. He makes me pure. The Bible says that I'm a new person, that the old has passed away. Behold, everything is new. It also says that I'm a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I'm a peculiar or a special kind of person, because Christ has sanctified me and made me holy. And so what He does is He takes us and He puts us in His family. On that day, I become part of His family. I'm sanctified. So now when God looks at me, He sees me as cleansed and He sees me as clean. And I'm part of His family. But now there's certain requirements that come on to us because we're part of His family. So we come in, and then it's a case of, okay, well, you know, you can't eat with your your elbows on the table, right? You can't just do what you used to do. You can't go and hang out where you used to hang out. You can't behave the way you used to behave. And there's certain requirements that are on us now because we are sanctified. And so then what happens is we start to walk out our sanctification as well. We start to walk out in a day-to-day life how we meant to live because we're in this family. So we're just going to go through those two and then relate that to Pentecost, bring that into Pentecost. So Jesus sanctifies us. So 4.1, where Jesus is our sanctification. He sanctifies us completely. He does a great job at it. Okay? He does a great job. There's no half job with Jesus. He does a great job. He fully sanctifies me, which means that he makes me completely holy before him. And this is to enable Pentecost to happen in my life and Pentecost to happen in your life. Because in order for the Holy Spirit to come and indwell us, I need to be sanctified. I need to be separated from sin. I need to be completely, completely cleansed. God cannot dwell in a vessel that is unclean, right? We look at the Old Testament, all the way through the Old Testament. If people who were unclean came into the presence of God, what would happen? They would die. They would be consumed by fire. Terrible stuff would happen. They would never live. That would be the bottom line. They'd never make it through if they were uncleansed and they came into the presence of a holy God. So the sanctification that Christ does for me is so complete and so perfect that it enables the day of Pentecost to come. And how he cleans mankind is he enables God, the Spirit, to come and indwell us. That's how powerful his sanctification is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." God chose to sanctify us. He does it through Jesus Christ and through his Spirit. And so now we are cleansed and we are absolutely, absolutely pure in his sight. Now this sanctification has nothing to do with me. I didn't add to it in any way. I didn't contribute to it in any way. It is a gift. So when we read in the New Testament, when it says that the new birth, or it says that eternal life is a free gift, salvation is a free gift, it is a gift from God, and that we can't earn or deserve it, that is exactly what it is. I can't earn or deserve this sanctification. This is God. It's all God's job. He's done it all. He's made it. He's made it complete from the beginning to the end. And it's not a reflection on anything that I can do or on who I am. That is completely, completely the work of Jesus Christ. And so we see what he does is he sanctifies me in preparation for the Holy Spirit to come and indwell, right? So this all happens at the same time, but I'm talking going back into our text from earlier where it was read, where Rob read that in Acts chapter 2, they're being prepared for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to fall upon them. And so Jesus has died on the cross. He's been resurrected. He's forgiven their sins. He's cleansed them. He's washed them in his blood. And now they're ready for the Holy Spirit to come. So now the Holy Spirit comes on them. And when he does, what he does is he indwells us and indwells them for fellowship, obviously, so that he can be with them. But also to give them assurance of sonship, to give them assurance of belonging, to give them assurance of being daughters and sons of the living God. He's going to come and indwell them. And at this point, we haven't earned or deserved it. At this point, this is still point one we're making of the sanctification by Jesus and by his blood and the complete work of him on the cross. Now, I want to just read from Hebrews chapter 2 as well, in verse 14. Let's just go to Hebrews. If you just go a little bit further on. Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. He became flesh and blood. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So, as we move into this whole concept of sanctification and we move into step two, which is a lot of onus on us, I want us to see that the whole design behind sanctification is to set us free. It's not to put bondage, it's to bring freedom. Jesus didn't come to make things difficult for us. He came to make things attainable for us. He came to make things easier for us. So as we go into it, we see that sanctification is a process of freedom. It's not a process of bondage. When I was in the family, there were chores maybe that my parents would give me, which made things a little bit more difficult compared to what I wanted to do. But eventually things become a part of your life. And they weren't so onerous. And so it's designed to bring freedom. Sanctification is designed to set you free from the oppression of the enemy. So when Christ sanctifies you, you get into his family. Now it's up to you to make a decision. How am I going to walk out? This is point two. How am I going to walk out the sanctification? How am I going to walk out day to day what the demands are on me because I'm part of his family? So for example, to abstain from sin, to not operate in wrath and in anger and in the flesh, but to rather operate in the fruit of the Spirit. To have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, self-control, all these kind of things which are the fruit of the Spirit. To walk in those rather than to walk in other things. That is now what we call to do through the process of sanctification. So let me put it this way. It's easy to see it this way. I come to Jesus, I get saved. He changes my life. He sets me free. He transfers me from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of light. There's nothing I can do to accomplish that other than just respond. There's nothing I can do to sanctify me other than just respond, other than just repent, other than just come to him and accept all the work that he's done for me. But then now that I'm in, all of a sudden there's a demand on me. He says every day work out your salvation. Every day work out your sanctification. So Neil, don't go back to where you used to go. Neil, don't behave the way you used to behave. Neil, don't say the things you used to say. Don't keep the friends that you used to keep. Don't go to the places that you used to enjoy going to. In other words, separate yourself. Not isolate yourself, but separate yourself from the things that cause sin. That's what he says. I now need to walk out the sanctification. Now, the walking out does not affect what Jesus did for me, you see. And this is where the Old Testament and the New Testament, the change comes. And sometimes even in the New Testament, the people would get confused. And you can't get confused, you see. The first step, becoming into the family, is what Jesus did for me. But behaving like I'm a family member, that's up to me. Right? Now I've got to behave like he wants me to behave. And that's what he says. The more mature I become in his word and in spending time with him, the more mature I become, the more I walk out more effectively what he's called me to walk out. The more I walk out like Christ, I become more Christ-like. Amen. Now, if you get the two confused, it's a mess. Right? If you get the two confused, it's a mess. So the point two, where we're walking it out, Jesus knew it was an impossibility for us to do. So he sanctifies us, firstly, so that he can indwell us. And then when he's indwelling us now, he can empower us to walk out how we need to walk out. You see, you can't have it backwards. We can't, that's why you can't work your way into salvation. You can't work your way to sanctification because all your works fail. You can't achieve what you need to achieve. Your works fail. It's only when he's inside you, now your works, he empowers you to walk out your sanctification, to walk out on a daily basis how he wants you to live. So step one is receiving him and letting him sanctify you, making you holy, completely pure, completely holy in his sight. Now, the Holy Spirit comes. Day of Pentecost happens. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. And when the Holy Spirit indwells us, he empowers us. God himself empowers us to walk out step two, which is every day behaving like I should behave while I'm in this family. He empowers me every day to do that. He empowers me. Now, without him, you can't do it. But I got good news. You don't have to do it without him. You have him, right? You don't have to do it without him. You can say, well, I can't do this. Well, you don't have to do it because he's empowering you to do it. So therefore, as I read in Hebrews chapter 2, if you're bound in fear, if you're bound in anxiety, if you're bound in all these things, if you're bound in some kind of habit that you can't break, that is normal in the flesh. You can't break these things on your own. But you don't have to do it on your own because you've already been sanctified, which has enabled the Holy Spirit to indwell you, which enables you now to break the bondage which is holding you. It enables you to get out of the habit which is impossible to break. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, stand firm or stand fast therefore in the freedom by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Walk in the freedom. And you see, so these are not meant to be onerous things. These are things that are beautiful. These are things that we come into the family of God, and when we get there, we're so grateful for the fact that he changed my mess of a life and he saved my destructive walk and he set me free. I'm so grateful that it's a pleasure to be able to serve him. It's a pleasure to be able to walk in how he's called me. The same is like forgiveness of sins. It's, you know, when I come to him, he forgives my sin and he cleanses me because I'm sanctified. And then every day or whenever I think about it, what do? I come and I repent for my sin. And at that point, I'm walking out my sanctification. If I forget to apologize for my sin or repent for my sin tonight and I die during my sleep, is Jesus still going to take me? Am I part of his family? Yes, of course, I'm part of his family. Otherwise, it's like schizophrenia, right? You're like, am I in? Aren't I in? Am I in? You know, that part of sanctification, I wake up in the morning and I know I'm part of a family. You know, I don't wake up and say, well, am I part of the family today? And maybe tomorrow I'm not. And maybe yesterday I wasn't. I don't phone my dad and he says to me, well, Neil, you're not part of my family today. And then the next day, no, now you're part of my family. No, well, you were a good guy, so now you're part of the family. Well, you didn't phone me yesterday, so now you're out. Right? I mean, I would be an absolute wreck, okay? And my father would be like, seriously a wreck. So God is stable. And so we have safety and we have security in the fact that he has sanctified me. But then there's the demand to walk out my sanctification. Now, this is where the problem comes in. This is where I want to look at. So the Holy Spirit has empowered us to do it. If we get it mixed up, this is where it gets catastrophic and it's pretty dangerous, is when you mix it up. Because if you start thinking that me walking out my sanctification today is what has made me sanctified in the eyes of God in the beginning, now I'm moving from the grace of God into myself being my Savior, right? So now I'm moving from dependency on God to dependency on Neil. So my walking out my day-to-day salvation, and this is for us as believers, right? This is not for people who walk away and decide they want nothing to do with God. This is for us in our day-to-day life as believers. As we walk on, we forget or we don't do what we're meant to be doing, or we commit a habitual sin again and we mess up, and then we come to Jesus and we ask him to forgive us. But this part over here is not the same as point one where God has sanctified us positionally. So when God looks at me, even if I'm making a mistake in my sin, even if I'm messing up in sin and I've made my mistake and I'm doing something wrong, God is still seeing me through the eyes of Jesus, He's still seeing me as saved. He's still seeing me as redeemed. He's still seeing me as cleansed, right? Now, if I start looking at my lifestyle in the fact that I've messed up, or the fact that I never went to church, or the fact that I never prayed, or whatever it might be, if I look at that, and that now starts determining my feelings of how my standing is with God positionally, now I start shaking. And I start wavering. And most people I speak to who say, you know, does God hear me? Can I trouble God? I don't even want to pray. I don't even know if I can ask him something. I'm tired of asking God things. All these things, when you start questioning like that, it means I'm starting to look at my life and my standing in God through my own behavior rather than through what Christ has done for me. And it's a dangerous place, because at this point, salvation is now dependent on Neil and his ability. And I'm telling you, Neil's in trouble. And so I start questioning everything. Neil questions everything. I question my belonging. I question my if God hears me. Everything now is rocky, because the stability of God being my anchor is now being moved. And it's now being moved on to Neil and my abilities and my, am I doing right? My behavior is now what is determining whether I'm sanctified or not. And not only is it a bad place to be, it really undermines the power of Christ and what he's done. If I think that his sanctification of mankind was so shallow that if I mess up on a day, or if I do something wrong, or if I forget something, or something like that, if that rocks him to such a point that all of a sudden his blood did not have effect on my life, and his power did not save my life, and the Holy Spirit now does not indwell me because of that, then it's a poor sign of my belief, and I really don't know, you know, the Father at that point. Like, I'm really missing a huge section of the gospel. And so the Holy Ghost, he indwells us, and this is what the Pentecost is all about, the day of Pentecost. It's a beautiful thing to read. I mean, there's flames and there's fire, and it's amazing. And I mean, we wish that we all experienced that. But the bottom line is that even if your conversion or your experience of the Holy Spirit filling you is very much not flames and fire, that's okay. God still comes in and sanctifies and saves you. And you know, when the Holy Spirit comes into you, he doesn't jump out of you tomorrow and then jump back into you the next day, right? He's with you. He says, I never leave you nor forsake you. And so when you know, you have to know, when you are struggling in that place of anxiety, you're struggling of that place of that habit you can't break, you're struggling to love somebody that you just cannot find a way around loving this person, when you're struggling with these things, you need to know that God himself is with you, in you, in that place. He's always in the dark place trying to help his people. He doesn't abandon you when you go through the dark time. That's when he's working hardest to let you see the light and to let you see how important you are to him. And you see, as I finish off, if I get the two mixed up, and all of a sudden my behavior is setting the fact whether God has sanctified me or not, now the promises of God are all dependent on me. They're not dependent on him or his promises. His promises now become dependent on me, which is exactly what he didn't want. Because in the book of Genesis, when he puts Abraham to sleep when he cuts covenant with him, because Abraham's going to mess it up. So what does he do? He puts Abraham to sleep. And he cuts covenant with himself on behalf of man, because he knew man would mess it up. So this is the absolute joy we have, is that God sees me as amazing. He sees me as his child. And then he empowers me to walk out a life of sanctification. Amen.